News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 4th of December, Anno Domini 2005, and you lucky people. You're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we're going to be bringing you, there's bugs all over the place. Real Player, Internet Explorer, MSN, Mac OS X. And we're going to talk about all of those things today, and Dave's got something very interesting to talk about. But first, real quick, there's the interesting thing about all these bugs is we've heard for so many years that every time somebody's got a new bug somewhere along the line, they get a different name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, McAfee calls it one thing, somebody else calls it something else, somebody else calls it something else. It gets to be a pain in the neck.
Well, like that one we had last week, and right after we got done with the show, I was able to post a solution to get rid of that one.
Right, because the name was something different. Well, now the federal government, the Department of Homeland Security, is looking for a common method of ranking the flaw severity. And they want to give them all common names as well. It's called the CVSS, the Common Vulnerability Scoring System, which is an industry initiative aimed at standardizing the severity rankings of flaws. So in other words, if McAfee decide, you know, right now McAfee might decide something is high severity and somebody else decides it's medium severity. And so how do you know?
It's bad.
If it's there, it's bad. I mean, I don't know what low severity means.
Hello.
But they're going to rank them now. The federal government is going to rank them all for us. It'll be called the National Vulnerability Database. It's funded by the Department of Homeland Security, and it's meant to boost the preparation of the nation's internet and computer infrastructure, as called for by the Bush administration's national strategy to secure cyberspace. The U.S. Computer Emergency Readiness Team, U.S. CERT, releases some information, but they don't really try to create a complete collection. So this will be pretty interesting. We'll keep you informed on that as we go along because there's some interesting stuff.
I like the advisory CERT gave a few years ago to prevent your spaceship from being taken over by Jeff Goldblum in a power book.
Yeah.
An actual advisory came out from CERT, you know, in the alien language. It was really funny.
Yeah, it really was.
I mean, the guys at CERT watch movies, too.
Yes, they do. And, of course, you have to remember that, I mean, what are the chances, A, that anything from an alien technology can be harmed by anything from Earth? Secondly, the chances that Jeff Goldblum could figure it out in an hour? I don't care how brilliant he is. And third, what are the chances that they actually use the Macintosh operating system in space?
But yeah, I love that. Negotiating with host. Bing, I'm in.
Yeah.
Negotiating with completely alien host who we don't know anything about.
Right, and bing, I'm in.
One other thing that you and I were talking about.
So funny.
Just to backtrack before we head to the phone, was last week, remember we had an email and we were talking about how people were saying that Media Player, you know, is not that great. And the woman was wondering about playing the show and couldn't listen to the show.
The Wham stream is in Windows Media Format.
Right. Yeah. And we were telling them to, just pick another one.
Right.
But what we forgot to do.
It was mentioned their names.
Mention other ones.
Oops. Yeah, there are a couple. There's one called Real Alternative.
I use Total Recorder. As a matter of fact, I just upped my subscription because last time I had it was version 3, and then I got 4 and 5 for free. Now, since I jumped to 7, I had to pay another, you ready for this? $12. Broke the bank. There goes Christmas.
And there's one on the Mac, Windows Media Player from Microsoft is a couple of versions behind, so that's always been an issue on the Mac.
Well, iTunes will play it too, won't it?
Not a Windows Media Stream. It does an MP3 stream and AAC stream, but not a Windows Media Stream. Yeah. There's one on the Mac called Flip for Mac, FLIP for MAC, that will play the Windows Media Streams inside of QuickTime. So it adds the WMV codecs to QuickTime and so lets you use your existing QuickTime streamer.
Right. But yeah, there's one called Real Alternative. And you can download that from all over the internet, and it lets you play real player media files. But I don't know if, yeah, it does streaming as well.
Yep.
It says here. So that's so great.
I just wanted to answer that one because there were a few folks on the forum that were questioning it, and it was a slip up, which once in a while we do do.
Us? Perfect us? Unbelievable.
You know, ain't.
I can't take that. All right, I have to change.
Then we'll take a call.
Yeah, we'll have to go to the phones now because I can't handle this thought that I'm not perfect. Our first caller, Linda from Greece. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Peachy, how are you?
Good. I've got a souped-up computer, 250 gigabyte hard drive, 64-bit processor, but it's running slow. And the gentleman said, no, it has nothing to do with viruses. Is it true, now correct me if I'm wrong, that it's the web page? You could have the fastest computer, but it's the web page. Is that true?
Well, it depends on what's slow about your computer. If it's slow bringing up web pages, the web is only as fast as the server at the other end.
Program.
So it doesn't matter what you've got.
Does your word processor or that open okay?
Yes.
Then
that's the problem. It's the stuff at the other end, and there's nothing you can do to make that faster.
And any link in between. When you open up a web page, it might be going through a dozen computers before it gets to you. And if one of those is having a bad day, if you try again 5 seconds later, it might take a different path.
Right, and a lot of people who are using AOL find that. Doesn't matter how fast their machine is, because AOL, you're going through their server, and if there are 10,000 people or 100,000 people on that particular server, it's going to be slow no matter how fast.
I've always wondered about that. AOL says they have 45 million customers. How many of those are online at any given second?
Right.
I'd guess several million people.
Well, right. Yeah. Well, but they've got servers all over the country.
Yeah. All over the country, and a lot of them are all dial-up.
But anyway, Linda, it's not your machine, not a problem. There's nothing you can do about that. It truly doesn't matter how fast your machine is. Before we move on, though, we should mention that if she is running a 64-bit machine and she's still running Windows on it, she's only running it at 32 bits anyway.
No, she's running Windows XP Pro.
It's still only 32 bits.
No, it's XP Pro.
Well, it's still only 32
you
bits.
You have to get Windows 64.
You have to get Windows 64.
Right.
Yeah. So it's
never
only
mind.
30,
I'm
it's
still.
Only, yeah, and, no, and you're then still, you have, we'll yeah. talk about you yeah. In a few
well,
minutes.
That, but, then you also have to get 64-bit programs, which there hardly
are. Yeah, there's not many there for.
There's scientific and engineering applications that are optimized for 64-bit.
NASA has some use for them.
Yeah. And Photoshop, you know.
Or, of course, there are AutoCAD. Any one of a dozen Linux distributions that everything is in 64 bits.
Yeah.
But not Windows. If you have a 64-bit machine and you're running Windows, you're really wasting half your machine.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well. Our next caller is Frank from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Frank. What's your question?
I'm running a trial version of AVG Pro right now, and yesterday it found a virus, Adware Generic FZE, and it said it's not healable. And I put it in a virus vault. Was that the right thing to do?
That was exactly the right thing to do. What happens is there are some viruses that are not healable for various reasons. Often it's because they simply have, they're embedded deeply into some program that's running at the moment, or they're one of those that hides somewhere that you can't deal with them. Generally, or it's one of the newer ones that it knows how to find, but there's no update yet to get rid of it.
Or there just isn't anything to heal. It's only a virus. There's no real code behind it.
Right.
Like if you get a virus in a Word file, it can take the virus out. You get the Word file back. If it's only a virus, there's nothing to heal.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
So quarantining is great. Putting it in the vault is great. The other thing you might do at this point is, of course, run the entire Security Tango from top to bottom. That's at securitytango.com. And that might following that step might get it for you. Actually, my friend Bill Bateman, who has done yeoman service,
he's been doing a great job.
Yeah. Reformatting the Security Tango, just sent me this whole PDF file that I haven't had a chance to look at yet. It's a 34-page document that he uses to teach his classes in Syracuse.
Yeah.
And it's all about the tango, and I've got to reread it and see if what mistakes I've been making. He's been refining the process out of
smoothing
using it every
out.
Day. Exactly.
Yep. Refining
it. One of the concepts behind the quarantine vault is that some future update of the antivirus program could then heal this virus and give you the file back.
Yeah. Right.
If there's no file there to get back, you might as well just go ahead and delete the virus. from your quarantine vault. In fact, a lot of times I'll set antivirus programs to don't bother quarantining it. Just go ahead and delete
it. I do on Norton all the time.
Because you don't want those viruses hanging around on your system accidentally breaking out of the quarantine.
Exactly. Right. And there could write something else that would break it out. So I just set them like in Norton, and I'm just to automatically delete. Yep. If it comes in infected, then evidently it's not that important. Clean up your machine and then try sending it again.
I'm teaching a couple of courses this quarter at RIT in the College of Business, and one of them is a security course. And I told my students, okay, in this particular course, if you send me a paper with a virus attached, you flunk the course.
Yes!
It's a security course.
Yes! Hello!
Do you have the Google Gmail story on our list somewhere today? Their Gmail service has instituted virus scanning that you cannot turn off if you want to, and it refuses to transmit attachments that you cannot turn off if you want to. So a lot of people are upset about that. They want control back.
Right.
And the answer is, too bad. It's Google's service. They can do whatever they want with it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to be back in a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco. And all of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Rochester's Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure. I've been thinking about it, and I'm pretty sure this
didn't
is
Didn't get
it.
Any headaches, did you?
No, I didn't get a headache. I've had headaches.
Okay.
But, you know, speaking of Google, which we were.
Well, let me back up just a sec. You know, Dave was just saying 21 shopping days till Christmas. There was a really cute Joy of Tech the other day, which is a technical cartoon. It may be 21 days until Christmas, but it's 26 days until the Macworld Expo, where the real toys are released.
right now, let me just remind everybody, I'll do this every week until Christmas. Just anything at thinkgeek.com, I'm a happy man. If you're looking to buy a Christmas present for your favorite on-air computer geeks, I believe we'd all have to agree, all four of us would have to agree, thinkgeek.com.
And another neat toy, you know, because we're going to try to find toys and that to come up with. I found another one really be cool to have. It's if you go to tomtom.com.
Oh, yeah, I want one of those.
They're expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, the cheaper one, the TomTom Go 300 is like for $700. And the TomTom 700 goes for, I think it's $900. Basically what it is, folks, it's a portable GPS. And it's got great graphics, landscaping, and everything else that you can stick right to your dash. And the 700 will also do Bluetooth. So if you got a Bluetooth phone, it will answer it hands-free for you. But it's literally a portable GPS.
It's a direction finder. So you tell it where you're going, and it tells you how to get there.
And it tells you, hey, the street.
Man, I need that.
It's three-dimensional, so it says, hey, your street's coming up here on the corner. You got to make a right.
I get lost in my driveway. That's the truth. I have no sense of direction. Absolutely none.
But the TomTom.com is a really cool toy.
You know, I really want
one. The person that adds everything.
So for anybody's out there looking to buy me a $700 present.
Me too.
Not that there are any, but if there were.
I remember.
No, I already bought it for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's an early Christmas gift. Aren't and by the way, the bill will be coming to your house in 30 days.
But really, it's the thought that counts when you get right
down
to
it. Oh, Bill's delivering it?
You know, those GPS units are really, really cool. A friend of mine that used to work with me at Radio Shack years ago, he's a geek, I'm sorry. But anyway, he made a website, but he's got a GPS unit in his car. And it's his website is wheresrich.com. Well, I just gave out the website so people can find out where this guy is. But anyway, he's got it set up so people can find out, like his friends can log in and see where he is off of his GPS, off using like Yahoo Maps or something like that.
He needs to get out more.
Well, that's it.
And I'm just a geek.
Yeah.
Well, you see this in the cop shows now all the time, that cell phones have GPS in them so the cops can track down the bad guys.
He's going to kill me when I find out that I gave a website so people can find out where he is. That's a problem.
That is a problem.
Nobody though?
Nobody really heard.
It'll give him something to do.
You know what? He'll get over it.
Yeah.
Or he won't, and that's his problem. Right?
It's just between the four of us.
Yeah, that's right.
He won't know.
Only our best friends will know. Yep. Richard's going. All right. Ann from Fairport on the line. Welcome, Ann. What's your question?
How do I stop pop-ups that are hardcore porn?
Let me ask you one question. And I'm just going to take a wild stab. You're using Internet Explorer.
Yes.
That's how you stop pop-ups. Don't use Internet Explorer.
Go to use Firefox.
It stops about 95% of all pop-ups.
Or Mozilla or Netscape or Opera, any of the other browsers.
Here's the thing, Ann. Internet Explorer is pretty much wide open to whatever the Internet wants to do to it.
I would just change my browser?
Change your browser to Firefox. When you download it and install it, the first thing it will ask you is, oh, I see you're using Internet Explorer. Would you like me to move over all of the favorites? You say yes.
Okay.
And that'll do that. If you really want to stick with Internet Explorer, there are any one of 100 programs you can buy. I would not use the free ones. Most of them are spyware. But why would you spend money?
Yeah, that's the problem. How do you know which ones are legitimate and which ones are not?
Right. So
what about Netscape?
Netscape and Mozilla and Firefox are all the same product.
Yep. They're all okay.
Just from different companies.
I'm using Netscape 7.2, and it works fine.
Yeah, Netscape and Mozilla are nice if you like a single program to get your mail and your news and your web and everything all together.
Okay, I'm running Windows 98, and I know I need an upgrade.
Yeah, you do.
9 years old.
Try using Firefox. Give that a shot. I think you'll be very pleased with it.
Yep, Firefox is a nice, lean web browser, and the companion program is Thunderbird for getting your email. And again, it doesn't have all the problems that Outlook Express has in letting security
issues through.
And
like I say, the only thing you're giving up is going to be those pop-ups. If you can live without those pop-ups, then...
Yeah,
where did they come from?
Every
Today
place.
Was the first day.
People get paid to put these things on their website.
But this was really...
The U of R website just got hacked this past week.
Sometimes it's a hack.
What may have happened is you misspelled an address. You're trying to go to google.com and
G-O-L-E. All I did was bring up Netscape and my email, and boom.
So you probably got a browser hijack through your email.
Yeah.
So you also now need to run the Security Tango at securitytango.com. And that should help clean out your machine.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you, Ann.
Bye.
It's getting worse out there. It's getting harder.
Well, that's the other thing. I had a client. Matter of fact, I got to give her a call on Monday. Brought her machine in, and we had to clean it up again. And she's a little upset because she goes, well, I just had it in here. And, you know, you just cleaned all this stuff up, and now I got to pay again to have it all cleaned up. Well, one thing that had happened was she was using AOL and didn't install all their free antivirus or make sure it was updating, so it got reinfected again along with the spyware. So I had to re-remove all that stuff, and it's like, don't shoot the messenger. I'm only here to clean up your machine, and that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, the big thing is...
If you folks reinfect your machine, it's not my fault.
Okay, the second you plug it back into your network, it could get reinfected.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's very true. It's very true.
But they want to sit there and cut my head off. What can I say?
Yeah, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to take another break here. We're going to do news. We're going to do weather. We're going to do sports. We're going to just have more fun than you can begin to imagine. In the analog world, out in the real world. Let's see, we'll just take a minute to see what's happening there. When we come back, Dave is going to tell us what baby aspirin and fixing your PC have in common. This, I promise you, you do not want to miss. You absolutely do not want to miss this. When we come back, Dave, baby aspirin, fixing your PC, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. We'll be taking a lot more of your calls. We've got Bob and Elmer on the line. Maybe not in that order. Yeah, maybe in that order. And we'll be talking about all the other stuff on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Allison Holmes X.
These guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this...
Oh.
What happened?
Say it again. No, you won't do it again.
I'm always last. That's fine.
You're always the last.
No, Matthew tried to sneak in there, and Rob talked over top of
him. I was going to say, I sounded like a smurf for a minute. I was like, what's going on? Okay.
Sure.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And I'm Rob Linton.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes.
And now, before we go back to the phones...
Sorry. Sorry, it's a whole different lifetime. Before we go back to the phones.
It's good to see that you guys are still complete disaster areas, just like me today. That's all
thank
right.
You. Thank you.
We resemble that.
That's right. I promise you that Dave... Ba-dum-bum. Thank you. We'll be here all
wrong
week.
Wrong button.
Try the veal. Dave...
You know what? I've got to talk to Steve
for a minute.
Steve, you and I have to have a private conversation. Here, last week, a lot of people know that we're still in the midst of this new system. And, you know, it takes a while to learn. You know what I mean?
And there's a lot more buttons and a lot fewer fingers.
That's right, right. So here we go. You know, Steve's mic is not yet off. And then something happened that wasn't supposed to. And you could hear Steve over the air go, push the button, Rob.
I could see Rob pushing the button and I could tell it wasn't working.
Yeah, you're like, push the button, Rob.
Push the other button, Rob.
Whatever.
Your other button.
We can't always hear Rob because often his microphone is off. But for those of us who read lips,
good at
it's
reading
very,
lips, yeah.
very, very entertaining to
well,
watch
now
Rob.
Now you guys are in a different room. See, in the other studio, we were all in the same room.
Right.
So now I have to make hand gestures, sometimes obscene, to get the point across through the window.
Rude Italian street gestures.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's
dot com.
Dot com.
Whoa! Thank you very
I
much.
That one.
Wait a minute. What did you just say?
Dot com. Rude Italian street gestures. .com.
Is there really a website?
I don't know.
Probably.
I'm checking.
I don't know. There's 7,000 computers in here. Look it up. Hello? All right.
Do you want to see an example of one of those gestures?
No,
I know
them all. I know I'm intimate with them. I am Italian.
nope, server not found.
Server not found. All right. Doesn't mean there isn't
oh,
one.
Oh, well.
You have to dig for it.
By the end of the show, someone will have registered it.
I know. Jerry, if you're listening. Dave said he would tell us what baby aspirin and fixing your PC have in common, and I know you all want to hear this, so listen up.
Well, let's start off with first, for all you folks out there, and I don't care what age you are, definitely, if you do nothing else today, have a bottle of baby chewable aspirin in your house. And you might be asking, why am I saying baby aspirins and fixing your computer? Well, it was due to baby aspirins this Wednesday morning, about 8 o'clock in the morning, when I suffered a heart attack. And thank goodness to those baby aspirin, this guy that's talking in front of this mic right now is still here to answer and fix your computer questions
yeah.
over the air. It was a little earth-shattering and kind of a wake-up call for me, but there's a lot of great folks that I have to personally thank that. I just want to take a couple minutes here out of the show and do that. One, the love of my life, my wife, Lori, who was right there for me. The folks at the Laurelton Fire Department and the Irondequoit Ambulance, I never saw so many folks fussing over me and making sure that I was going to get here and get there and move around. The folks at Highland Hospital, especially Dr. Bennett, it was at one point there when he diagnosed that I was having a heart attack. The gentleman, this great doctor, was ready to put me in his car and take me over to Strong. And then the great folks at Strong, the cat lab, I literally went flying through that ER into the cat lab and went right from the gurney onto the table, and bam, I was done. And I'd like to also thank you folks up there on Strong Hospital, the cat lab, and the folks on the 7th floor, 3600 group. That wing is the group I was at. And some of the greatest nurses, techs, and everything else, I had a ball up there. If you can have a ball after having a heart attack, these folks really made...
A quiet one.
Yeah. They were fantastic. They were on top of me all the time. And also to the folks here at Clear Channel, I want to thank them for the very nice arrangement that they sent. It was kind of picked me up. That, you know, yeah, I'm still going to be around here and taking your phone calls. And
we're glad he is, too.
Be able to answer all your questions, because I'd missed that.
And he's back on the air 4 days later. That's even more amazing.
It was basically outpatient stuff.
I was going to go to the hospital this afternoon and visit you.
I know it. Jeez and crackers. It was. I heard about it at 8 o'clock in the morning, but 12:30 I could go visit him. He was out of the thing. Listen, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we will get to your phone calls. With Dave Enright, we're glad to say Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Goes in.
We're not sure what Sean Hannity knows about computers. But then again, we're not sure what the Soundbites boys know about anything but computers. Catch Sean Hannity later today on Wham! Now, back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Benright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we've been dissed by the voice guy.
Well, he should...
I'm not going to lie. We should have videotaped that dance you were doing to that song.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm all about
the dancing.
It's called the Nick Shimmy.
Nick Shimmy. Exactly right. And not too many people can do it.
And it's better than the banana dancing.
You can, because you're all about the shimmy. We know that.
So should we talk about that phone call? I think we should.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I just got a phone call.
Call us when you're done.
From a listener. Now, look.
Gotcha! Go ahead, Rob. No, let's talk about it.
Go ahead, Rick. No, we should talk about it. I just wanted to see that look. I wish I had a camera on you.
I'm surprised you don't.
Anyway, we just got
a phone call from somebody who says, "Hey, I love your show, but you talk too much." And I said, "Well, it's a talk show." And, you know, it's just...
What's he want, country music?
That blew my mind a little bit. It's almost like somebody calling up a music station and saying, "You play too much music."
Yeah. We like talking about computers. Well, we like talking about life.
And I think the important thing that, you know, we point out to people is not all of our listeners are computer engineers.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, it's just really important to
Bring it down. Take a look at the calls we've had today. They were simple questions.
Exactly.
People have questions that they need answered. And most geeks can find out the answers for themselves.
Or know them, and you wonder why they're calling a computer show to begin with.
Well, sometimes they have a problem that they need help, whether they just want to chit-chat.
Well, I'll let you guys get back to the calls.
Nobody calls it chit-chat anymore.
Well, chit-chat is a beautiful thing. But listen, I'm going to let you get back to the calls. I'm going to run down the hall to one of the FMs and tell them to lay off the music. All right, I'll be back.
All right,
All right, we're going to talk to Bob from Churchville, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Well, I have I bought a Compaq computer a couple years ago. We got three or four here, different computers, but I use the Compaq. Mm-hmm. I have got no problems with it. All the virus stuff's up to date, but it came with Microsoft Works.
Yep.
And it just nobody. Anytime I send letters or reports, nobody can open them, and I can change it to rich text and all that. But I'd rather. How can I get Word on there, you know, economically
There you go. Yeah. You can't. Yeah. You can't get it there economically.
Economically isn't going
to
happen.
The best way to do it is the Microsoft Office student and teacher bundle. If you say you're a student, teacher, or parent of a student or teacher, you can get the entire Office suite, and in fact, three licenses of the entire Office suite for $150. And that will let you legally install it on three computers.
On three machines.
Ordinarily, the Microsoft Word application itself is $250, and the full Office suite itself is $400. And that's the Microsoft Works is another one of those great products that Microsoft tried to sell and no one ever bought, but they still include on a lot of machines because it's cheaper. The Works suite is kind of neat. You get a word processor, spreadsheet, database.
As far as doing a database and creating labels and all that, I use it from time to time.
In fact, the database module doesn't exist in Microsoft Office. If you get Office Pro, you can get Access, but no one knows how to use Access.
Well, you can get the Microsoft Works suite, which is only $100 and includes an older version of Word. I think it's Word 2002 now.
Yeah. Well, so no, Word is now up to Word is 2003.
Yes, but Microsoft Works suite 2005 still has Word 2002 in it. So you get an older version of Word. Plus all the other Works stuff.
No big deal.
Right.
And part of the suite is like the mapping program and the picture editor and other
things. Right. Yeah. Now, alternately, you can also download for free OpenOffice.org, which is a full-blown Office suite with a word processor and a spreadsheet, a database program, a couple of different graphics programs, a presentation program like PowerPoint. It's all of that. So that's a different alternative and certainly would be something you might want to look at since it is free. You can get that at openoffice.org. Our next caller is Elmer from Webster, New York. Welcome, Elmer. What's your question?
My question is, I got a 56K internal fax modem I recently put in.
Mm-hmm.
It works, that I know.
Yep.
But it also works when the computer's off and the telephone rings. The computer will start by itself.
You have set a preference somewhere, and probably inadvertently,
yeah.
To wake on ring. So the it's probably in the fax software somewhere.
Yeah,
so
what fax software are you using?
Well, it came with the modem.
Yeah, whatever software came with the modem.
Most likely it's WinFax.
What it's expecting to do is wake up the computer, answer the phone, and receive a fax.
Yeah.
Now, where would I find that?
Somewhere in the fax software preferences.
Yeah. Depending on what package you have.
When you're running your machine, you should see down in the lower right corner there where all the little icons are.
Yeah.
You should see an icon for the fax software.
Was this a Compaq, did you say?
No.
What type of computer is it?
A local made one.
Locally made one.
Because, you know, some of the Compaqs, they have that phone service.
Yeah, this is
the utility on there, and
but at any rate, you should find an icon down in the corner for the fax software. If you right click on it, you should have a choice of preferences. So give that a try, and
go ahead. It says it also may be in your system BIOS. You can tell the computer itself in BIOS to wake on ring or wake on LAN activity.
Right.
So if someone on your network sends you files, the computer wakes itself up.
Yeah. All right, listen, we're going to take another quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We have Jim and Sandy on the line. We'll take them when we get back. We have Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Mina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Computer talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Boom, 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 boom.
Santa baby.
Hi there, I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
Santa baby, just slip
and she's
a sable
not.
Under the tree.
And I'm Rob Linton.
For me.
You're just you're finding this stuff all over the place. It's like a little treasure trove for you. All right, we're back. Before we get back to the phones, I want to once again mention our little online community at Frapper. Argyle was kind enough to set this up. If you go to the links
page
tab on the Soundbites homepage, soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, click the links tab and the, what is it, third, fourth one down somewhere along the line, one, two, three, four, actually five.
Oh.
The fifth one down is join the growing Soundbites community on Frapper, and if you go to Frapper, you will see a map of the United States with most of the people, some of the people who listen to us, most of them grouped in New York State, of course. And we'd love to have you join. You don't have to leave any information you don't want to leave.
Just your name, city, and state.
Right, a name and actually, I think it's your zip code, and then they pick the nearest city. I seem to be living in the parking lot at McQuaid High School. I'm not quite sure how that happened, but I've been there. I've certainly been.
I was going to say, does Elaine know you're moving?
Yeah, exactly. So we'd love to have you join us online. Just stick your handle on the forums or whatever you want, and your city. We'd like to get a bunch of people. We got 32 now, and we know there are a couple more listening, so we'd like to get them all there. Our next caller is Jim from Syracuse, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Morning.
Hi.
This is a partial information and partial brag call.
Uh-oh, here we go.
You were talking about chit-chatting.
Yeah.
Yesterday was my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And my bride really surprised me. I got a new 256 meg video card.
Wow.
Another half a gig of RAM.
Yeah, wow.
And an external 80 gig hard drive. And a flat panel monitor.
Holy cow.
Boy,
she really
good.
Loves
yeah.
you.
Hey, when you're good, you're good.
Can we move in with you, too?
She are you adopting? Exactly.
Yeah. I've had several people ask if I get tired, I would let them know.
Yeah, right.
Anyhow, is there a handy-dandy little utility I can get that can make sure that everything's running, you know, right as up to snuff as it can?
Not specifically. There are several different utility programs that can check different types of things, but most of them we feel add so much overhead, they slow the machine down.
Yeah, because it's so hardware dependent. And, you know, to have one program be able to know how to check all the different performance and peaks, the best thing we can suggest is, one, make sure you have antivirus and our spyware software that we recommend on the Tango. So if you're running up-to-date antivirus, SpyBot, and AdAware. You maintain those weekly, you're going to be staying pretty much at peak.
Yeah, tuning a PC is a lot more voodoo than it is real simple science. So there's no program that will do that for you.
And I need to mention again that Norton Utilities for the Macintosh is not compatible with the current operating system 10.4. They have discontinued Norton Utilities for the Macintosh to focus on Norton Antivirus. And Norton Utilities will never be compatible with System 10.4. If you run Norton Utilities on a Macintosh System 10.4, which was codenamed Tiger, it will destroy your disk directory and likely lose all your files.
Cool. But other than that,
I have three machines in the shop right now we're desperately trying to recover files from.
Good luck.
Yeah.
All right, our next caller is Sandy from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Sandy. What's your question?
Nick, a pleasure to talk to you. I've learned more about computers over the years from listening to you and watching your various TV shows than I can anyplace else.
Thank you. Thank you. I love to hear that. We all do.
I have a question about Service Patch 2. I went and got it, like you said, to do in Security Tango, but I can't get the firewall to turn on. I click the icon in Control Panel, and everything in the firewall window comes up dark. The only thing I've been able to find out, it says to consult your network administrator to turn it on. I'm supposed to be the network administrator. It's my computer.
Well, first let me suggest that you're talking about the Microsoft firewall.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it.
No.
No?
I would suggest, as part of the Security Tango, there's a link there to download Zone Alarm.
Okay, well, I went to Security Tango, and then I read through, and that's what you said to do, is Service Patch 2 and use our firewall.
Use a firewall, not
use
Microsoft's
a firewall. Yeah, not theirs, a firewall. They're really two separate things. And the one I recommend is a Zone Alarm, and the reason for that is it not only blocks things coming in, but if you do accidentally get something, it'll help block it from going out.
So you don't infect other folks.
Okay.
Right, so I would suggest using that rather than the one that's built into Windows. Just turn it off and download and install Zone Alarm.
I think that was part of his problem. You said you were trying to turn it on and it won't turn on,
right?
Which is sort of a good thing, but that could mean there's something more wrong with the system.
Well, hey, you have danced the whole tango, right?
No, I wanted to put the firewall in and then go through Security Tango.
There's the difference. You may already have a virus, run the whole tango.
Uh-huh.
And it may be blocking the firewall.
And that's what a lot of the viruses and spyware and Trojans do, is they block your firewall, they block your antivirus. You think it's still working, but it's not.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to have more news, more weather, more sports, more stuff about the analog world. When we come back, we'll talk about flaws in Mac OS X. In Real Player, in MSN, and Hotmail, it's just they're everywhere. It's just it's terrible. And we'll be back with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco. We've got some folks on the line, a couple of gyms on the line. So please hold on. We'll get to you too. And we're gonna come back. We'll talk about all those things. We're gonna talk more about the hello.
Stuff.
The poll. All this stuff. I don't care. We're Soundbites, and we're on 11. I've just melted. I've melted on 1180 WHAM.
West. Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Now, before you get all excited, Dave's just getting a cup of coffee. Nothing interesting happened during the break.
Decaf, no sugar, yeah.
Yeah, right. No, doctor says nothing. I'm telling you, it was outpatient surgery. He was... He was out of the, he was like 45 minutes. Boom, he was done. And the doctor says no restrictions. Well, one or two small restrictions we won't mention here. Very small restrictions. But other than that, he's good. Now, before we go on, we've got a couple people waiting on the line. But before we get to them, I want to talk about Macintosh OS 10. According to the SANS Institute, which is a computer, which is a computer security training organization, they've released their top 20 vulnerabilities last week. The rankings continue. It's an annual ritual, actually, aimed at highlighting the worst flaws for network administrators. This year, the list had something just a little bit different on, however. They flagged the collective vulnerabilities in Apple Computer's Mac OS X operating system as a major threat. For the first time, the SANS Institute called out an entire operating system for its vulnerability. So Mac gets another first.
Yep.
That's kind of important. The recent vulnerabilities in Mac OS X was intended as a wake-up call, they said, because they're not pointing really at Mac OS X and saying you should worry about the entire operating system. It's just that the Mac is not entirely free of troubles. And what they're saying is Mac OS X is currently more secure than Linux or Windows, only for the fact that the shares of users is so much smaller, and therefore the number of researchers discovering the flaws is smaller. So what they're saying is there may be vulnerabilities out there that no one has yet found. Yeah. And so when Mac people tell me, well, I don't have any viruses, my answer is always that you know of.
Right.
Yet.
Well, the other thing is
yet.
Most of the hackers are always going after the quantity. And right now, most businesses, you know, majority of businesses are all running PCs of one form or another.
Yeah, it's so much easier to exploit the known holes in Windows than it is to try to find a hole in some new thing.
Yeah.
Well, but then again, the underlying Mac kernel, the mock kernel, is Unix. And there are a lot of known vulnerabilities in there. And a lot of and a lot of known places to get things. So that's part of it. Of course, there's also poor configuration of OS X computers. There are enough OS X boxes on networks now that aren't patched or firewalled or configured. They pose what they say is a clear and present danger to the networks they reside on. They worry about Apple's hesitation to speak publicly about its operating system security. So there's a lot of work that they still need to do. So a lot of people feel that if they're running OS X, then they have no problems, but that's really no longer true.
Yep.
And Apple's got a lot of web pages on their security and showing the security updates and
yeah,
the
but there are a lot
features.
Of, but they don't tout it. And one of the problems is I'm always hearing from, every time we talk about a Windows vulnerability, people post in the forums or in the opinions page, oh, if they had a Mac, they wouldn't have these problems. That's a really dangerous attitude to have.
Yeah.
To simply believe.
Too complacent.
Exactly. It's a very, very bad attitude to have. And our job, folks, is to make sure that you understand that that's a bad attitude. Complacency in general is a very, very bad thing. And you need to never be complacent about your operating system. You know, we talk about people who have Macs getting antivirus systems just so they can be good network citizens. And in fact, that's kind of a lie. They need them because there will be viruses and they need to be protected. But if, I've always figured, well, if I can lie to them and get them to run it, it's okay anyway. Yeah. But the reality is that, yeah, you need to be a good network citizen, but also there are a number of problems that are beginning to crop up in Windows because it's becoming, and in the Mac, because it's becoming more popular.
And looking through the list of security updates, almost all security releases recently were to address attacks from the web. Safari,
yes.
Java, things that can run code on your computer.
Right. Mm-hmm. Java is Java. That's the whole point behind Java. Write once, run anywhere. So if you write a Java virus, it's not a Windows Java virus. It's a Java virus.
Yep.
And it will strike any machine, including Linux boxes, and including Macs, including
cell phones
PCs.
And PDAs.
Cell phones, yeah. PDAs, anything that actually runs Java. And that's an important point that we need to make. Just because it says... because you're running a Macintosh doesn't mean you're protected. Make sure you're protected. Run the antivirus software. Run the firewall. Don't click on certain links. I mean, I know people all the time that click on a link and they think, I'm not going to get it.
Nothing happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, happened.
Something probably happened.
Yep.
Just did it in the background and you didn't see it.
Exactly. And you just simply, I think, Dave, it's exactly the right word, you can't be complacent anymore.
But then on the other hand, you can't be overly paranoid either.
Right.
Especially with the FBI, CIA bogus emails coming out this week. We had several phone calls from people. Oh, my God, can you clean my computer for me before they come arrest me?
Yeah.
It's a bogus message. You don't have to, this one you don't have to worry about. It was a Windows virus in the message, so you weren't affected by it.
Right. Now, and I've said this before, I'm running a Linux box at work mainly because people are sending me viruses all the time. My faculty are sending me viruses. Mm-hmm. Is this a virus? Well, if you thought it was a virus, why did you send it to me?
Wait a minute. Yes, now I can open it up. And those are folks at Higher Learning?
You're right. Well, no, that's not. Well, you know what? They're economists and they're financial people. It's not their field. And that's understandable. That's why I'm there, thank God. They're not computer people because I get to do my job.
Wait a minute. You said they're financial people?
Yeah.
So you can say that at figures?
Boom, boom. Thank you. He'll be here all week, ladies and gentlemen.
Try the veal.
Mention me to your friends. We're going to go back to the phones now. And who we got? We've got Jim from Irondequoit. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
How are you this morning?
Peachy, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. I called last week with this. I suspected a virus. My internet was not working, very, very slow. And I called and you suggested to run the Tango. I did that. Adaware froze up at a Windows System 32 file. I tried it twice, and it froze it at that file, and it wouldn't let me go further than
that. Now, did you run this in safe mode?
Yes, I did.
Sometimes there's another thing you have to do. There's several, probably many, particularly insidious spyware and viruses that make it hard to remove. Oftentimes, you have to open MSConfig and turn off everything.
Okay.
All the four different tabs there. Turn off everything in the WinINI and the SystemINI and
what
the
is it,
startup
the,
programs.
The last button you can sit there.
Oh. Yeah.
Have them selected and then uncheck
them all. Yeah.
I brought it to a friend who's computer savvy, and he had he noticed that my Norton antivirus somewhere in it the worm protection was disabled or turned off.
Oh,
and I never did that.
Yeah, a lot of viruses and worms will disable your antivirus and without you noticing.
Try
one of the. Then he went into some files and he noticed that they were turned off for about a month. They were not.
Yep.
Oh, when you ran the Security Tango, did you run a brand new version of Stinger?
Yeah. Yes.
And didn't find anything?
They had to rename it again.
Yeah, because of the worm.
Yeah.
Tendon adds a worm.
A lot of times what it eventually boils down to, and Dave has run into this too, is you take the hard drive out of that computer, mm-hmm. put it into a known clean computer as a slave drive, mm-hmm. and then run the scans on it.
Okay.
Because when you're booting from the drive you're trying to clean, the viruses are running and won't let you delete them.
Just as a side note.
Yes?
I got a new record.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. You beat my 45,000?
71,771, wow. And we took a screenshot, and that was just on viruses and Trojans on one computer.
Not even spyware?
That's not even counting spyware. I forgot to grab the slip, but I've got the totals of the spyware we found, which is a totally different number.
Wow. Anyway, that's your deal, Jim. You really... Either you need, at this point, and this is the problem, we've always said this, it's a leapfrog thing.
Mm-hmm.
The antivirus writers fix a problem, and the virus writers leapfrog them with a new problem, and then they leapfrog it and fix it, and they leapfrog it and make a new one. So it depends on where you are in the jumping process. It may well be, if you're up to doing it yourself, great. Otherwise, take it to one of these two guys, and they can... Throw it on one of their other machines, clean it all up, and get it back to you.
You can't even boot a floppy or boot a CD and run scans these days because NTFS isn't visible from DOS.
Right.
Well, that's one other thing that we're offering right now between the holidays is if folks are looking for another gift, we're offering for $50, they can get a card that entitles that person to have one computer cleanup at our shop if they bring it in.
What a great
idea.
With
that card, for $50, we'll clean up your machine.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. So if you're looking for a little stocking stuffer, there it is right there. Our next caller is Vito from Rochester, New York. Vito, what's up?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, Dave, thanks for sharing that information. It was quite an experience.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm using McAfee 10, and it uses Internet Explorer to do the updates. What's the downside of that? I mean, is it okay in this case to use Internet Explorer just for that application?
Because what happens is McAfee goes directly to their website.
But McAfee downloads behind the scenes. It does. You don't even have to have a browser open
but
for
Mac. But he's right. It's using some of the code.
And sometimes
you don't have to open it, though.
Sometimes you have to go to the McAfee website, log in as a customer to get program updates versus antivirus
updates. Right, and then it'll automatically bring up the browser. But in that particular case, it has gone right to McAfee's website. And the theory is, there are no certainties in this world, but the theory is that, in fact, it's a clean site. So that's not really anything you have to worry about.
But when I do a manual update, it tries to open my browser, which is Firefox, and mm-hmm. since that's not the one it wants to use, I have to close that down and allow it to use Internet Explorer. So it does open up an Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
There must be a program update.
Yeah, it's
to
a program
too.
Update, but your normal weekly updates, you should just see down in the lower right-hand corner on the taskbar there, a little green box with a yellow arrow constantly moving. It looks like it's downward downloading motion. And that does it behind the scenes. You don't even have to click on it because it's already in the task manager to run it each day. And when it finds something, you'll see that little green box appear with the yellow arrow pointing down in the taskbar.
Yeah, for program updates, it wants you to log into their website with your name and password to sort of prove that you're a paying customer and entitled to these updates.
Right, so you should definitely do that.
Okay, great. Hey, guys, have a good season. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Vito. You too.
Thank you.
Our next caller is Jim from Wayland, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Yeah, I've got a Windows XP and a gateway. And my wife, about 3 days ago, I guess, she downloaded some McAfee updates, and now it won't start up. Get error is ISASSEXE error is what comes up. Or once in a great while, you can get a black and white screen that tells you all your startup options, but it's on a timer, and you only get about 20 seconds.
Yeah,
if you ever get to that screen, you can hit an up or down arrow, and the timer will stop.
Okay. Well, I went to a safe mode startup, and it still does the same thing.
ISASS is a virus. It's the Optix Pro virus.
Yeah, I was going to say, what version of Windows are you running?
That's Windows XP.
All right, you might want to you definitely want to go do Dance the Tango.
Well, if you can't get the machine to boot,
it won't boot up
too late.
Now.
Take the hard drive out, put it in another good computer.
Yeah, if you can take the hard drive out and put it in another machine and do a scan on it.
Okay.
Because what you'll do is, if you've got, say, another computer running, say, XP, it's better too because it'll know the NTFS, and you just say unplug the CD-ROM drive, hook up this drive, boot it up, it'll see it, and you can scan just that drive.
Can you pull a drive out, put it in an enclosure without having to change any jumpers and run it as USB?
Well, most of them nowadays.
That might be a good idea.
Well, most of them nowadays are set.
All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I am Rob Push the Button Linton.
And we are Soundbites.
They're
before
pushing
we get
your
back
buttons
to the phones,
today.
Actually, it's sliders, not buttons.
Right, most of them are nowadays.
Sliders and buttons and blinky lights.
Oh, we got buttons. We got knobs. We got sliders.
We got your button. We got your knob. We got your slider.
And there's that glazed look in his eye as he stares at them all.
And the blinky lights are all on. All right, before we get back to the phones, I want to talk a little bit about what happens at our website, soundbites.org. And as I said in the first half of the show, that's Bites with a Y, as Francis would like us to remind you.
Mm-hmm.
We do a poll every week. Last week's poll was, how much of your holiday shopping do you plan to do online? 52% of you said some of it. Only 4% of you said all of it. But 351 of you voted. Thank you. That was that made that number 72 on the all-time hit list. We want to thank you for that. That's very nice. This week's poll is about Microsoft's new antivirus product, which is out. It's the OneCare Live security subscription. It's, of course, a subscription. Microsoft has been desperately trying to figure out how to get people to pay yearly for something, and to do subscription stuff. And this is their way.
Oh, this is just going to be more work for me.
Yes, it is. But you love that.
Oh yeah,
don't you? Sure.
Let them keep pushing it.
Exactly. The choices are, it's Microsoft's new antivirus product. The choices are, I'm already using it, I just can't wait, I'm perfectly happy with my current antivirus product, thanks, and you're joking. Right? So far, we've got 105 people. 51% of you think we're joking. Only one of you can't wait, and five of you are actually already using it. When you're done with voting in the poll, you will notice
Let me say to that one person.
Yeah.
My shop hours are Monday through Friday, 9 to 5.
At the bottom underneath there, you'll see a yellow box. There's a link there for Give Us Your Opinion. That will take you to my website, AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. Tell him what he would have won, Johnny. Oh, I'm sorry. You should have phrased that in the form of a question. And where you can leave your opinion on this. We've got 12 people who've left an opinion already. Most of them are very clean. I'm very excited to see that. And then you can come back and check out all the other cool stuff on the Soundbites website, including, of course, Frapper. If you click on the links button, the links tab, the fifth one down, join the growing Soundbites community on Frapper. And if you do that, it takes you to a map on the, Frapper beta. We've got two more. We've got 34 people now. Please sign in, particularly those of you who will be listening to the show later on the archives.
Yep.
We'd love to have all of you on the list. We'd love to get 40 or 50,000 people on the list. So see if Frapper overloads.
Cool.
It's our own personal test. So everybody who listens, please sign up. It'll help us with the test. Back to the phones now. And we have Debbie from Brockport on the line. Welcome, Debbie. What's your question?
Hi, I have a new laptop with wireless internet capabilities.
Yes.
And when I use it in the front room, I can access other wireless internets.
Yeah.
Can they access my computer files?
Unlikely. Well,
possibly.
Depends. It depends.
Uh-huh.
If you don't have a password on your wireless network, they can at least get into your network and get to the internet. If you have file sharing turned on your computer,
on your machine, that's
then part. They can potentially get into your files as well.
Okay, I don't have a wireless.
Pardon?
I don't have the wireless router.
So you're piggybacking on other people? Don't tell us that, Debbie. It's illegal.
Okay, that was my question. Is it illegal?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Technically, it's theft of service.
Theft of service. You're kind of not supposed to do it.
Unless you were at a cafe that says they offer free...
Right, there are
free
public internet spaces.
Right, but in your home, unless you're living next to a cafe that has free wireless, you're pretty much not supposed to be able to do that.
So anyone that lives next to a Debbie, put a password on your network.
Yeah. If one of your neighbors, you're in Brockport and you have a neighbor named Debbie, lock your... and that's the problem with a lot of wireless systems these days.
People don't
know
how to
do it. When you get them, they're wide open.
Which makes it easy.
They're coming for you, Debbie.
They're on your way, Deb. Yep. They'll be there to pick you up.
Yeah, the networks are wide open, which makes it easy for lay people and the average consumer to plug in and connect to a wireless network, which also makes it really easy for the bad guys to break in and get into your systems.
Yep. The other thing you have to worry about, Debbie, is if you're on somebody else's network and you're going to websites that are not secured, they can read your packets if they know what they're doing.
Okay.
And so you really don't want to be on their network.
Yeah. Okay. So if you were doing some banking,
right?
Because it's convenient. You know, you want to sit there.
Mm-hmm.
They could also be viewing that too.
Oh, that's not good.
So for all of those of you out there with wireless networks, you need to make sure that they are encrypted.
Yep.
With some sort
change the default password, because it's amazing.
Default password is blank. So if you just know to be admin and put blank, you're there.
Yeah, I mean, so many that I go to, without asking, just type it in, and usually I'm in.
Because when people check their computers in, they don't know their passwords, so you try a couple default passwords that we know
in.
And we're in, and then you can tell them what their password was.
I have a friend who's living in an apartment building, and he turned on his machine and found four wireless networks. And
it's amazing.
Yeah, and he said, is it illegal for me to go into their browsers and fix it for them? And I said, well, it's at best questionably moral, but I believe it is in fact actually illegal. Yes. Yeah.
Right. So now if I get a wireless router, I would encrypt it and change the default
and
password.
Change there's
you change the default password for the admin, and then when you set it up, there's a key you can put in. And you pick one, and then you have to do that also on your laptop so that they can talk to each other.
Yeah, all of the wireless routers now are including these security instructions to set up a password.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Thanks
Good
so much.
Good luck. Have fun.
Good luck. and stop using an illegal wireless connection. Our next call. Now, if you want to call and argue that with us, give us a call. You know the numbers. We're at 222-1180 in the 585 area code. If it's the, if you're outside the 585 area code, it's 800-295-1180 is on the Choice One toll-free line. And if you're a Verizon Wireless customer, it's just star 1180.
Yeah, the usual analogy we say is if you leave the front door of your house unlocked, can I walk in and take your stuff?
Yeah.
Or can I walk in
and sit and watch TV?
Sit and watch TV. Yeah. Or,
I'm not taking anything.
Sleep in your bed. You know, I'm not stealing anything.
Make a few
long
distance calls on your phone. Is that legal?
Yeah.
You know, people,
well, you left your door open. You must want me.
Right, right. Most people wouldn't do that, but they don't hesitate to steal your bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. Anyway, our next caller is Dick from Spencerport. Welcome, Dick. What's your question?
Hi, folks.
Hi.
My question is about email. I have just started about 3 weeks ago receiving a bunch of email failure notices, delivery failure notices, and stuff that I have not sent out in the first place.
Yeah,
it's spam.
Hijacking or spam or something.
Yeah, that's it's phishing. Yeah.
It's one of two things. Either someone else has a virus, and the virus pulled your name out of their... So you get the response, or they're just spam in and of themselves, and they're hoping you'll click on the links to see what the problem is and get the virus.
The curious thing is that none of these have a text. They have no body of the message.
Right.
It's just a failure message, and they have... you know, after my domain name, they have all kinds of usernames that just plain don't exist.
Yeah.
And
so
it,
does this sound like somebody else is hijacked and they're using their
computer right now, I've been...
Yeah. One of the two. And the other thing is it might be that whoever your internet service provider is cleaning up the garbage inside the text.
Or it could be white. It could be HTML code, white text on a white background. So it looks empty, but it's really doing something.
Is there anything I can do to my... I have danced the tango.
Don't open them. Just dump them.
Right.
What is your email program?
He's already gone.
He lost
Sure that
your preview pane is not turned on.
Yeah.
Because if the preview pane is turned on, you're actually looking at the mail and it's, you have opened it.
And
already.
The annoying thing there is that if you do get a legitimate bounce message from a mail you tried to send, you're not going to know it because it's lost with all of these fake bounce messages.
Right. Yep. Our next caller, Dale from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Dale. What's your question?
Oh, hi. Yeah, geez, I'm just starting to use a Mac Cube.
Nice.
Yeah, it's working pretty good. And I'm trying to set it up so that I can have two screens plugged into it. One's a regular Mac screen, and the second one's a regular 19-inch monitor, and I'm running Jaguar.
The Cube only has one active video port. You cannot run two monitors at once.
Oh, okay. Well, the darn thing is running the second monitor, of course, but it's just a copy of what I've got on the first one. So,
You've got a Y jack in there?
No,
it has two video ports. It's got an Apple ADC port and a VGA port.
Right, trying to fool me. Yeah.
Right, it's
right, they're just wide on the inside. Then is what you're saying?
Yeah, generally only one monitor at a time works. The fact that you have both monitors mirroring is
cool,
unique.
But
I should try that. I have a Cube myself. There. Yeah, and the Cube is the really tiny computer that only has one slot in it. So the AGP card, theoretically, you could replace the video card with a new video card that does support dual monitors.
Okay.
It's pretty tricky finding it's a 4-inch short AGP card that fits in that slot.
Okay. Well, pretty soon I'm going to upgrade to the Mini Mac. And does that come with a dual card?
No, that's a single card also.
Yeah, same thing.
Oh, it is?
The consumer machines are only single monitors. The Pro
you got to get a real bigger...
Well, the Pro machines, the Power Mac and Power Book, can run spanning monitors.
Right.
So they're saying the average home consumer doesn't need two monitors. So they're not making you pay for the expense
of
a dual card.
That's exactly right. That's part of what keeps the price down is the stuff they leave out. Our next caller is Ed from Webster, New York. Welcome, Ed. What's your question? Ed?
Yes.
Sorry, did we interrupt you?
No, I'm sorry.
We interrupted ourselves. His radio. Yeah, turn your radio down.
Turn your radio down.
Okay. Yes, my question is, I don't know if this is pirating or not, but on my computer, my PC, which is a cable, I'm on a cable system, I'm getting illegal site visit warning, and it says there's no body to it either, and they want me to call the CIA.
Spam. They're trying to get you to click on the link so that they can send you viruses. Just to dump them and ignore them.
Okay, because I mean, they keep sending them. If you don't answer the first time, they'll send three or four of them in a row.
No, they'll send thousands of them because you're on a list. You got on somebody's list.
Yeah.
Just dump them.
Okay, because I've been wondering, Scott, what with my college kids getting into something they weren't supposed to? I'm getting jealous.
No, just dump them.
Yeah, the police generally don't warn you that they're going to come and arrest you. They just come and arrest you.
Yeah.
So any of those are pretty much bogus.
Yeah. Our next caller seems to be Jim from New Mexico. Jim?
Hey, how you doing?
Are you from the state of New Mexico?
Yeah.
Cool.
You're calling from New Mexico. How cool are you?
I don't know. Not too cool.
What city in New Mexico?
Currently, I'm in Albuquerque.
You ever get to the States much? That's the old joke, isn't
it? How do you spell Albuquerque?
A-L-B-Q something.
Yeah.
Q-U-E-R-Q-U-E.
All right. Yeah, there it is.
How can we help you today?
Wow.
Anyway, I heard you say something about sniffing wireless, and when I was driving around in my big truck, I had a Yagi antenna up on the roof.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Cabled into my laptop, and when I drive through L.A. or Las Vegas or Phoenix or Kingman or wherever, I'd use free wireless all the time from people's houses.
Yeah, it happens all the time. That's called war driving. And in fact, my friend Fred has a website up there, wardriving.com, and you can go there and read all about it. It is also illegal, Jim. You should know that.
If you're using a private residence, if you happen to be near a public internet spot, you know, coffee shops, things like that, and a lot of cities, Philadelphia, right. San Francisco have citywide public internet available.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, but, yeah, absolutely. It happens all the time, Jim. Now, Jim, don't forget to go to Frapper and put yourself on the list for us.
Would really appreciate that.
Appreciate that. Thank you. I love it. Look at that. New Mexico. How cool is that? Oh, I'm very excited by that.
Your friend here has a cute article, Protect Yourself Against Wi-Fi Bandwidth Vampires. See, even if you have your wireless network open, someone could just be surfing the internet, or they could be sucking down your entire bandwidth doing anything they want. Yeah.
Well, and don't forget, if somebody's sitting in your driveway downloading child porn over your network,
you're getting blamed.
The FBI's going to find you, son.
Yep.
Not them. They're going to find you. Our next caller is Ed from Webster. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
It's not a question. I guess I'm going to disagree with you. I mean, as far as hooking on to another network, I've done that for years. In fact, my favorite thing is looking for people who haven't changed their SSID from Linksys.
Right.
The airwaves are being broadcast into my car or into my house. I'm just making free use of them.
So you're one of those people who believes it's okay to just walk into somebody's house if they leave the door open and,
No. The airwaves.
No. This is a private network.
The signal is being
This is a private network.
House,
that's not the point.
Well, wait a minute.
It's a private network.
So
just because they've made a mistake does not mean that they're asking you into their home. This is a private network in their home and has nothing to do with the public airwaves. If you take a look at what they're running, that's not listed as public bandwidth.
Right.
It's listed
they're
as free bandwidth,
service.
But not public bandwidth, and there's a difference.
It's being broadcast into my airspace. Look at the FCC law.
Your airspace? You're in their driveway. Or you're driving by on their street. That's not your airspace.
I can do it right from my house.
No, I'm sorry.
You're picking nits
here, and morally it's a bad place to be. It's exactly the same as, I happen to notice they left their front door open. I went in and used their phone to make some long-distance calls because they left it open, and I could do that. Morally, you're on very shaky ground here,
Ed. No, it's very simple. If he has to do this argument with the FCC, who's going to win?
Well, he's going
to
lose. There's no question.
All right,
question
that's the end of the conversation.
Here's
it
the deal.
Is what it is, and we can't
And he
change
knows
it.
It's illegal because he's arguing about it.
Well, this is the same guy that was in front of my house last week stealing my internet. I'm sure. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just these same people who think that they own the air around them and that they have the right. It's just, it's amazing. You know,
the problem
I can't
is
tell you how many.
It hasn't been tested in court yet.
Well, of course.
But most people are going to say it's illegal.
Yeah. Right. It's scary. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, random cars have pulled up just outside my house, just sit there.
Yeah.
And,
now, I certainly, if you want to call in and argue about this, great, but use a legitimate argument.
Yeah,
not,
I mean,
it's
hello.
The public airways, because it's not. So bring me a legitimate argument. Bring me an argument I can't refute, and we'll go on from there.
Yeah.
And in fact, we have Argyle, who has, and we'll talk to him when we come back. Apparently, we're taking a break now. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Argyle, Jerry, and Rick on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
PCs to Macs, these guys can answer your questions. Back to more Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we're going to get back to the calls, but we have one last comment on wireless theft, and it's from our buddy Argyle. Argyle.
Nick, but putting this topic out there and saying call in is like dropping a big fly in front of a hungry trout, man, for me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know that.
Look, give me 45 seconds and I'll make my case on this thing. First of all, there hasn't been any law, I don't think, decided on this thing that I've read about.
Well, not specifically on wireless, but it is definitely illegal to use someone's network without their permission.
Okay, hang on. Well, without their permission is the big question, because in take out all the techies and all the rest of the stuff, if I pull in your driveway, I open up my laptop, my computer asks your computer for permission to get onto their network. Your computer grants my computer an address, which is like granting permission. To give this an analogy of your going up to the open door, this is like going up to a door, ringing a doorbell, and hearing, come in, and the door is unlocked.
Not really.
It really doesn't matter whether there's a live person saying come in or whether it's a recorded message saying come in. It's saying come in.
But you're still taking advantage that somebody accidentally left their door open.
Okay, well, that's point number two. Point number two is, how do I know that they left it open, or they intentionally, or they left it open?
Because all of law is based on, you know, reasonable assumption, and so you have to assume they didn't do it on purpose.
Well, right. Well, you said if you live next to a coffee shop or something, you can use their network. How do I know what the coffee shop network is?
Because you walked into the coffee shop, well, and they have a sign on the wall that says, go ahead and use
free,
our wireless.
Yeah, free wireless.
If you find a sign on somebody's porch that says that, then you're absolutely welcome to use their wireless. But until and unless you do, you really can't make that assumption.
Well, Nick, you could pull into my driveway and come up with a wireless network, and it's wide open. Because I really don't care if you use my bandwidth or not.
You really should, because somebody could be doing something very bad on your bandwidth.
Well, you know, isn't that my decision to make?
But you've made a legitimate decision, and because I know you, I can go along with that decision.
I guess what my...
And when the marshals show up and confiscate your computer and take you to jail because someone else was on your network, it's going to take you, you know, who knows how long and how much money to straighten it all out.
Well, that's like saying, you know, the threat of the cops coming to the door is the reason why not to do anything. You know, I mean, if there's no law decided on this thing, someone's got to decide the law.
Well, yes.
You know, I mean, someone has.
And there lies the challenge.
And I think that the people that are using these open networks, as long as they're not going in and affecting files, if they're just using bandwidth, how do I know that this bandwidth wasn't left open?
How do you know that it was? Well, I mean, you're making an assumption that's convenient for you, as opposed to an assumption that's more reasonable in terms of the level of knowledge of the people putting up the networks. 90% of the people who put up wireless networks are not knowledgeable enough to know they have to lock them down. And you're taking that other 10% as the common norm.
Heck, they don't even know that they can use a different browser than instead of Internet Explorer.
And another little issue is, if you read the terms of service of either Roadrunner or FrontierNet, it says you cannot share your bandwidth with someone else.
Right.
Steve, but that's not my problem. That's the guy who's left the router wide open. That's his problem.
But what you're saying is, because this guy's stupid, I'm taking advantage of it.
I'm saying
that's what you said.
I'm saying, Nick, that there's absolutely no way that I can know that he left this wide open for me to use.
I completely agree with that.
So then,
where I disagree is the next step. I say, therefore, you have a moral obligation to treat that as a closed network as opposed to an open network, because 95% of the time, that's what the person intended.
So you can use that same argument with the open door policy. If someone leaves their front door unlocked, it's okay for me to go in and use their stuff, because if they didn't want me to, they would have locked their door.
Right.
No, I'm saying that, because of the way that the computer network works, I think that you're granting them permission. It's just like me.
Well, you can think that, but they didn't think that.
They don't have a clue.
And so my point is, it's not what you want. It's what they originally intended.
So, no, Dave had parrots that could talk. So if someone knocks on the door and the parrot says, parrot is giving permission to come into my house?
KC would.
So the computer can give permission to come into my house.
Yeah, that's where the argument breaks down to me. I don't think it's a legitimate thing, and I think we... we can argue that part all day long, but I think Argyle, we have to move on now. We have to take a legitimate computer question. We're done with this issue. We're going to have to agree to disagree, and I honestly think that I think you're wrong in this particular one, but I still think you're a great guy. When we come back, I promise you we're going to take Jerry, and we're going to take Rick, and we're going to take Rich, and we're going to clear out the calls when we come back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham! We're not sure what Sean Hannity knows about computers. But then again, we're not sure what the Soundbites boys know about anything but computers. Catch Sean Hannity later today on Wham! Now, back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Is there a bump in Hannity's show dissing him and saying nice things about us, do you think?
Yeah, that we do this just for a hobby, and we know more than he could ever think of.
This is Nick Francesco.
Dave Enright.
Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton. You know, the bottom line is apparently somebody here got bored one day. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of what happened.
It's very funny, actually.
And they pay this guy to make these announcements. So they were so bored.
This guy probably is like somewhere in the Mideast, has no idea who, in the Middle States, and has no idea who we are. He's just somebody they hired to do this. And he's thinking, who are these guys?
Well, remember, what was the... wasn't there an issue with a name or something like that?
Yeah, they fixed the one where he hiccups over my name.
That's right.
I was Nick Francesco for a long time.
Right.
That was it. Our next caller is Jerry from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Jerry, and thank you for being patient. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
All of a sudden, turned on a computer a couple of days ago, could not get on the internet at all. Mine is a wired network, so a little change of pace for you.
There you go.
But all of a sudden, I couldn't get on, couldn't get email, nothing. My local area connection, it's there. But one thing I did notice on the support tab when I go to that, I don't have a default gateway address being assigned.
Uh-huh.
And when I try the little repair button, it just says renewing the IP address. You know, no can do.
Are you connected? What's
through
your internet?
A hub?
Right. What's your internet
hub
connection?
Yep.
It is through a hub. A firewalled.
A router.
A router. Yep. Linksys.
Yeah. Generally, what that means is some connection in either your router or in your cable DSL router from the ISP is not working.
Well,
I've even tried some different ones. You know, I've got
Hold on. If you're connected to the router and you can't get an IP address, that's the router problem. If the router can't get an IP address from the cable modem or your DSL line, that's the broadband problem.
But one thing that I would suggest, and this might solve it all, the quickest thing to do first try is because within Windows XP, you get assigned that IP address and it's time stamped.
Right.
If you don't take the time to first shut down all the computers, go over and unplug, whether you've got DSL or Roadrunner, you unplug both the cable modem or DSL modem and your hub, you pull the power out from them, count to 10, plug them both in.
Well, you have to watch the timing there. You got to plug the cable DSL router in first.
Wait about 10, 15
so
seconds.
So it's ready. Then
maybe 30 seconds.
Then plug your network router in next.
Wait another 30 seconds.
So it's ready.
And then start turning on your computer.
Turn up, and then go around and turn on each machine.
Yeah, if you do them in the wrong order, it may not work.
Because at least having those off and the machine, the router's re-coming back up, it says, all right, well, here, I'm handing out new addresses, and they kind of get canceled from within the PC, so the PC says, what's my address? And That's the simplest way before, like you say, trying to get in there and do
That's exactly it. It's likely something with your router, but it may just be a simple timing issue. So try that and let us know. Our next caller, Rick, from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Rick. What's your question?
Yeah, I can't get on any secure websites. Whenever I log on to, say, my webmail or something, it goes to an HTTPS site, and it gives me cannot display this page. But anything that doesn't take me to a sign-in page like my insurance, I've been through everything. I went to the Microsoft support, and I did all of the different things they listed.
Did you download Service Pack 2?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a setting in Service Pack 2 for security, website security, and that's apparently set to don't let anything go through.
Okay.
Where do you fix that, though?
It's
all brand new to us, and so I'm having trouble remembering where it is. But it's somewhere in the new hole, that whole internet security suite from Microsoft.
Yeah, if you go into Control Panel and click on there, and I'm trying to visualize it.
And while you're thinking, there was also issues with different versions of Internet Explorer could lose their securityness, and so it thought it had zero-bit security. If you download another browser like Firefox and try that,
it'd be 128-bit.
If Firefox works, then it's a problem with your browser. If it doesn't work either, then it's a setting in Windows itself.
Okay, because I know I've been through all the different things, and I went through and cleaned out my hidden files. I mean, I did everything that I possibly could.
Yeah, none of that's going
to
do it.
If you're running Internet Explorer, if you go to the About Internet Explorer command under Help, it will tell you what your security is, 0-bit, 64-bit, 128-bit. There was a bug with Internet Explorer for a while that it would lose its encryption strength and then would prevent you from getting to encrypted sites.
All right, our next caller is Rich from Brockport, New York. Welcome, Rich. What's your question?
Yeah, so my question is on broadband. Is that just as unsecure as this Wi-Fi stuff?
Is what?
Broadband.
Broadband is a term for high-speed internet, usually cable or DSL, as opposed to a dial-up internet. A wireless connection is how you get that broadband to your computer. And since wireless uses a radio, it's potential for someone to pick it up. With ordinary broadband over a wire, they'd have to plug in to your network in order to break in. But yes, they all are just as insecure and need to be protected at your end.
Right. Well, we're done for another week. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. I want to thank everybody who called in, including our good buddy Argyle. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. Join us on the website. Please sign in to Frapper and let us know who and where you are. And if you're out of state, get all your friends to listen to. We're going to be back next week at 11 o'clock. I'm Nick Francesco. We'll be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and all of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.